Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, as you've been just hearing on the news bulletin there, and not unexpectedly, Israeli forces have boarded some of the vessels in the aid flotilla headed for Gaza. But while that happens, the IDF is continuing with its stated aim of flattening Gaza City, sparking a new wave of internal displacement for people who are already starving. Reham Madi Aljara works for the Women's Affairs Centre in Gaza City, a partner of Christian Aid Ireland, but she and her family have had to flee. Reham, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How long was it ago that you had to leave your home in Gaza City?
Actually, I've been in the south for 2 weeks right now.
Yeah, and what condition was your house in when you left it?
It was partially damaged. It was like a one-room lift, but it was like a safe haven for us, even if it was one room.
And there was a particular incident when the drone attacking your house that eventually made you make up your mind to leave?
Yes, the last days before we decided to evacuate, because our area was from the red zones, they started leveling and demolishing the houses on the roof of its like residence, and the drones, or as they call them, the quadcopters, it used to come at night and in the middle of the day to open fire for hours on the neighborhood, on the houses in the neighborhood. And I remember one incident that we had to lay on the ground for an hour, I believe, till it stopped like shooting and on the houses, on our house and the houses near our house.
Yeah,
yeah, it was awful. And they've used to do some kind of technique to drop explosive bombs on the roof of the houses by the drones, and then like bomb them like one after the other. So it was like you don't know where the bombing is coming from. Is it on your head? Is it the house next to you? I believe this one was one of the worst moments that I've left in the last days in my neighborhood.
And your father was very reluctant to leave. Could you explain why that was?
Because the first time we've evacuated from Gaza City, a week after the 7th of October 2023, we thought that it's going to be 4 days, maximum a week. But after the months of suffering that we've spent displaced in the south, we've knew that this time, if we've left, the chance to return to the house would be impossible. So my dad was reluctant to evacuate because he knew that this would be the last time that he sees his house, the home that he built, with his own hands. And I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. And I suppose that on top of that, he had that with your grandmother, who had died, as I understand, not too long ago, that she'd had a similar experience. She'd been displaced from her home.
Yes, she was forcibly displaced from Jaffa in 1948. And she died without even having the chance to return. And she spent her last day just longing to get back to her home in Yafa.
And towards the end of her life, it sounds like she was in desperate need of better medical attention than what was available.
To be honest, nothing was available. We spent months in the famine, no proper food, and no proper medications. In her last, let's say last month, the last month that she had left, there was a shortage in the adults' diapers. So we used to use pieces of cloth for her because she was like, she had a disability and she couldn't go to the toilet. So we were forced to use pieces of cloth as an alternative for the adult diapers. And that caused her a bed sores and a lot of infections. And with the lack of medications, with the lack of proper food, eventually she went into a coma for 2 weeks and then she passed away.
My word. When you left the house to where you are now, how long were you traveling for? And was it all by foot?
We spent actually 2 days in our way here. We've walked most of the road and we've took a truck the half of the road, the rest of the road. It was 2 days of constant suffering under the scorching sun, waited for hours. It was throughout the road, it's only one road that is available for Palestinians to move from Gaza City to the south. So it was crowded, and because people were fleeing with their lives from the let's say the outrageous bombing and attacks in Gaza City. So like in an hour we've used to move a couple of inches only within an hour or 2 hours. So it was like impossible to reach, impossible to return. We were stuck in the middle of, let's say, despair and suffering.
And what kind of conditions are you living in now?
And something looks like a tent, but it's not a tent because it's pieces of tarps, pieces of clothes, pieces of any kind of material that can protect us from, or it can barely protect us. It's not, it can't protect us actually, but to cover us. And if any material that is only enough to cover us from being literally in the streets.
Yeah. And what's the temperature like there at the moment? It sounds like it's very hot.
Yeah, it's still hot here, especially in the middle of the day. It's impossible and unendurable to stay in the tent, especially between 11 and 2 p.m. and the midday. It's impossible to stay in the tent because the heat is, it's like you're living right now and having a room in hell, literally. And due to that temperature, all of us developed heat rash, which we don't have medicines for them. Any kind of medicine that when we go to the medical points that they can provide us to. So it keeps just eating us and it's itchy and red and spreads widely in the entire body, in your face, on your hands, and only that due to the heat.
How much food are you getting?
That's, I believe it's... It's obvious. It's like the answer is obvious that every Gazan right now who is lucky to have a meal, we only have one meal per day. Why? Of course, on the social media or in the media itself, there are like goods are entering Gaza City, but they are goods for the private sector. And we need money to buy these goods. And right now, the prices are 10 times before. The prices that were before October the 7th. So it's hard. It's unaffordable. We cannot afford buying it. And there's a lack of humanitarian aid that is entering Gaza right now. So we don't have options for our meals. It's only a loaf of bread or a small bowl of lentil soup.
So you're... And like for your parents and you, so are you feeling... If you like, the cumulative effect of that hunger. Are you pretty much hungry all the time now?
Yes. My parents used to ask us if you are still hungry and that amount of money, which is insufficient. Are you feeling, is your empty full or still you're feeling hungry? Because they've always... They were giving away their portion for us in order just to, so they can rest in peace, that their children didn't starve to death. And giving away their portions for us, for me, for my younger children, for my younger brothers, I'm sorry, for my younger brothers and sisters, finally shaped their bodies into skeletons, especially my dad. And for me, during the famine, and I can't hide it, and I can't even forget it. We cannot erase it from our minds. Because I remember the nights that I've spent, and I still spend, just squirming in my bed, distracting myself from the hunger that I'm feeling right now. Moving around the room, talking with my siblings, drinking as much as water as I can to just make my empty stomach feel full. And we've literally forgot how an empty, how a full stomach feels like. We forgot this.
Where you are now, Rahim, are there many people around you? And I assume everyone's...
I'm in the middle area.
Yeah, and everyone's in the same situation.
Yes, it's crowded. Yeah, it's crowded. Like, there's no privacy because we are all just, let's say, trapped in the same place, under the same conditions.
And are you hearing a lot of explosions? And are there are those explosions anywhere close to you?
Yes, even if we have moved to the south, we're still, like, still bombing happens around in Nusayrat, in Al-Zawaida, in the areas around us. And a week ago, they've targeted a family, like it was 10 minutes away from us. They've targeted them and they've all just martyred. And believe me, even if we have moved or forcibly moved from Gaza City to the south, we still breathe fear. We cannot, we are not able to sleep in peace at night because the sounds of the explosions, the ear-splitting sounds of explosions still haunting us. Even if we were able to sleep for 10 minutes, you just wake up due to a nightmare that where you see your family, all of them, all of their bodies shattered on the ground, where you were targeted and your family, and you were left alone to mourn them. This nightmare, not just me, but I believe it's for all the Gazan people here. It haunts all of us at night, which prevents us from having, let's say, a peaceful night, if it's possible to have a peaceful night.
Yeah. Where you are now and in Gaza City before, would you see Israeli soldiers or is it just all flights coming in and drones and the like?
Actually, we were fearing the moment that we will see the Israeli soldiers. That's why whenever they were close to us, we used to flee and to evacuate to something, to some place that is, let's say, still away from their tanks, from them. So thankfully, we've never seen them in person.
And are there many people, as far as you know, still left in Gaza City? Your colleagues in the Women's Affairs Center, are they still there?
Yes, a lot of my colleagues are still providing services in Gaza City. And a lot of my friends and a lot of my students and relatives, I have family relatives who are still in Gaza City. Not just because they don't want to evacuate, but because they know and believe that the conditions here are the same there. And because they've tasted the suffering from the first displacement when we moved to the south. And that's why they prefer to die in their home. They prefer to die in their home rather than dying in a tent or dying in the street.
So many people have made that decision that if they're going to die somewhere, it might as well be at home.
Yes, exactly, in their homes. My uncle decided this. My friend decided this, and she was martyred 2 days ago with her family members. She decided to stay. She wanted to die. If she was supposed to die, she wanted to die while she was embracing her memories in her home, while she was embracing her children in her home, refusing to be uprooted from the place where she was born in, where she raised her children, where she achieved her dreams. And eventually she died there with her children, with her dreams, and all of them were turned to a dust.
Where you are now, Reham? Where you are now, Reham, do you plan to stay there? Or do you have any kind of a plan, or can you have a plan at the moment?
Actually, I'm not in Gaza City right now. I've evacuated to the middle area. And I don't know, we don't have the privilege to decide whether we are going to stay here or not, because sooner or later, evacuation orders are going to cover, let's say, I assume they will cover most of the areas in Gaza. So it's impossible to stay in one place. And it was impossible to stay in one place during these 2 years, these two harsh years, because I remember in the first displacement, I moved with my family and I was forcibly displaced more than 10 times. And when we reached the 10th time, I've just lost count on the counts, on the times that me and my family were first to displace from Gaza City to the middle area, to Al-Nusayrat, to Khan Yunis, to Rafah, from Rafah to Khan, back to Khan Yunis, from Khan Yunis back to Al-Nusayrat, then from Nusayrat back to Khan Yunis. Like, we were running in an endless circle of suffering, endless circle of torture, an endless circle of grief and pain, helplessness and helplessness that the whole world are seeing with their eyes. And they're still laying dead. They're still blind, pretending to be blind on the misery of the Palestinians' misery that is happening right now.
Are most Gazans aware of the attitude of most of the world to this? And I'm saying most of the world to this, not there are countries who seem to tacitly or explicitly support this, but most countries profoundly disapprove of it, to put it mildly.
Yes, to be honest, we are following what is happening in the news and how most of the population in the countries are resisting and protesting to stop what is happening in Gaza. But still we need the politicians, the decision makers to change their minds, to eventually wake up and wake their conscience that a genocide is happening before their eyes. And they are aware of this, but they're still pretending to be blind. They're still pretending to be neutral. And believe me, there's no neutrality in a place where a genocide is happening, where an ethnic cleansing is happening. You cannot be neutral. You need to be with them with the right and support the occupied people and to do not stop, stand with the occupiers. You cannot be neutral with this. And another thing that I'm really proud of, and as Palestinians, to be honest, my heart is filled with immense pride of the courageous souls abroad with the freedom
the flotilla.
The flotilla that are sailing, yes, the flotilla that are sailing to break the siege in Gaza. The journey is not only like one of solidarity, but it's also powerful. It's a powerful reminder that humanity has not abandoned us, because believe me, we've reached a degree to believe that the entire humanity just abandoned the Palestinians because they are Palestinians. For me, I carry them in my heart, and all the Palestinians are carrying them in their hearts, in their souls, in their prayers, and as a symbols of dignity and justice and hope. Because each wave they cross, it just echoes our struggle. And each mile they sail, it strengthens our belief that we're not alone. And the bravery gives us strength, gives unimaginable amount of strength. And their solidarity, it just renews our determination to remain steadfast until just we get our freedom and we get justice.
Hopefully, Reham, that day will come. Reham Mahdi Al-Jarrah, thank you so much for speaking to us today.
You're well.
And very welcome, Riham. Take care. As we were saying there, Riham does work for the Women's Affairs Centre. That's a partner with Christian Aid Ireland. If you'd like to donate to Christian Aid Ireland, you go to caid.ie/famine/Gaza.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.